Well, this is Halloween Day, right? Or as our Celtic brothers and sisters, forebears in our faith, would call it Hallows Eve. That was the beginning of this tradition in the early 1800s as All Saints Day began to be part of the life of the Christian church. It was predated by our forebears in Ireland and Scotland as a time to remember. They'll remember that the harvest had come, that life had been brought forth through the bearing of fruit and grains in the ground, and now it was that time in the life of their community of darkness to begin. So it's a commemoration, a celebration of what God had done through the life of the harvest, and a reminder that God would be with them into the darkness and once again into the light. What a witness of our faith that transpired into what we call Halloween here now. And that was how when it came to America, the colonies weren't as quick to embrace Halloween as those rogue and ruffians outside of the kind of down in the South. They were more embracive of Halloween than the early colony folks. But it was a time to celebrate and commemorate. I remember growing up Halloween, and I could certainly relate to the fear and the darkness that our Celtic brothers and sisters taught us. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when you creeping around going to get candy at somebody's house and it's dark and never know when a spook or a goblin's going to jump out and get you, it can be frightening. You know, growing up in the suburbs of Ripley and Faulkner, we had a trusty donkey. He was actually a Mexican burro named Jose. What else would you name a Mexican burro, right? And Jose was quite a character. He liked to chase cars when he could get out of his pen. And he would bray on command. I know y'all have heard of guard dogs, but we had a guard donkey. And once someone was rolling the yard of my friend Coach Gray and Janae Gray. Some of y'all know, remember the Gray family. They were our neighbors. And these guys were probably a little bit scared. It was dark and it was night. And they were tiptoeing around. And one of them fell into our fence. And as soon as they did, Jose let out a bray. They thought that some type of high-tech security alarm was going off. Those kids knocked down a section of fence trying to get away from Jose. And those are some of the experiences you can have in Halloween, right? It can be a fearful time. Well, isn't it appropriate that we pause on this day in the midst of fear? Reminders of death and darkness that in our God there is light and love and joy forever. That's what we celebrate as we commemorate All Saints Day, remembering those who sojourned before us and poured life of the faith into us. Maybe it was Sunday school teachers, grandparents, parents, those who nurtured us and showed us Jesus, not only in what they said, but in what they did. I want us to pause a few moments and remember today some of those who have been a part of our community, who've gone to glory and are now saints in that eternal realm, who've finished their race. In the spirit of Paul, they kept the faith. Let us remember them today. We celebrate our dear friend Elvin Huddleston that we mentioned last week. The gifts of leadership and humility that Elvin nurtured our church with for so many years. We also remember our friend Billy Mooney. Billy was faithful in her prayers and strong in her faith. We remember Mary John Dill, her ministry of writing cards, bringing laughter and comfort to so many in our family. We remember Stan Horton, a a teacher, a carer for young people, and coach and encourager in their lives. And we remember the sons who've gone before us, those who've lost sons, Ray Gillard, as we remembered his passing this week as a teacher and lover, and we see the hope of life of his granddaughter being born now. And certainly today, we remember Craig Goolsbee. Craig, one who was so thankful for the gifts of life that he had and for his ability to serve others and give back. You see, we remember these this day because in our scripture from the Gospel of John, we have a hope that promises to us and reminds us, dear friends, we have a God of life. A God that, as Mary and Martha wrestled with the loss of their brother Lazarus today, they posed that question, or what some would say an accusation, when they said, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." Friends, may we remember this about our God, that Jesus came to this earth not to prevent death, but to conquer death. See, there's a difference. In this world, we are filled with brokenness and darkness, for this is an imperfect reflection of our heavenly home where there's life, love, and joy forever. In our text, there are a few promises that I want us to pause and consider here today in our text that I pray will give you and me comfort in the midst of our journey. First and foremost, I want us to remember that people who Jesus loved still knew adversity and loss of life. I don't know about you all, but oftentimes when something bad happens in life, we think, "What did I do wrong? God, what have I've done to deserve this?" And certainly there's no one that Scripture exemplified Jesus was more intimately acquainted with than Lazarus and Mary and Martha. These ones that he loved, as our Scripture said to us today, it gave us an example by showing and sharing that Jesus wept at hearing of the loss of Lazarus. It was his pain, his anguish, his sadness for those he loved. Friends, may we know that death indeed is an enemy of our God. You know, as we think about enemies, those who seek our destruction, Monya and I were talking coming over this morning how we were watching College Game Day and seeing the rivalry of Michigan and Michigan State, and how so much of that they sought the downfall of the other. She said, "I got mad and I'm not even a fan of either one of them." But oftentimes when you have an enemy, it brings out your anger or your sadness. Well, friends, those are the emotions our scriptures speak to us that Jesus himself felt at the death of his friends. In other words, death to Jesus is an enemy. An enemy that our Lord came down to heaven not to prevent, but to conquer forever. We give hope to each other and those who sojourn with us in faith, in knowing that Jesus loves us all, as Scripture says, and gave his life that all may have hope through him. Another promise of our text today is that we have a God of miracles. As we hear this great miracle of resurrection from Lazarus's tomb, it's a reminder and a proclaimer to us that we should continue, I believe even today, to pray for miracles of God's grace. I've shared with some of you before, there was a time in my life and in ministry where I didn't feel comfortable praying for miracles because I always thought, "Well, what if God doesn't answer that miracle? What will it say to that family that I pray for healing and wholeness with if they are not delivered from the peril? What will it do to their faith?" And finally, over time, I grew in my faith, my personal journey, to understand that God always will answer and will ultimately deliver. We will receive miracles of grace, sometimes on this side of heaven and sometimes on the other side. You see, that's what we see in our text today. The scripture says that the sisters, they pleaded to Jesus and they said, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. You see, they didn't get their miracle when they want or how they thought. Friends, there is mystery in God's grace for us. There is mystery, and the timing isn't always as we would choose. We're going to know hardship and loss like Mary and Martha did in our text today. But have hope. Friends, believe this with every fiber in you, that the miracle of life and restoration is sure and certain, even if not until that heavenly realm where there's only life, love, and joy forever. So keep praying. In the spirit of Martha and Mary, keep searching and petitioning Christ to pour out his love for your family, for your friends, for your needs. Those are the words that we hear proclaimed by John the Evangelist this morning. The miracles of grace that surprise us and sustain us all throughout our journey. A couple of other examples that this text proclaims to us today, that people Jesus loved met unexpected brokenness and separation. Here's the thing that I want us to remember, dear church, that Jesus will sustain us in those dark times. As we remember our Celtic brothers and sisters who commemorated the life of the harvest and prepared to go into darkness, may we know this, that Jesus will journey with us through every darkness, every adversity, comforting us with his love and care as he did Martha and Mary and sustaining them in their faith. Friends, I heard a story recently about a lady who shared in a daily devotional about a friend whose home had been destroyed by a tornado in Tennessee. The tornado had completely leveled the home site. The only thing that remained was a single pine tree out beside what was once their backyard. And she said over time they got together and started making plans for the rebuild. And it seemed that one spring day, the homeowner who'd once owned the home received a gift of hope and inspiration that was quite unexpected. She saw springing up from the soil where the home had been beautiful wildflowers adorning that ground with purple, green, and white flowers. And she said, here was the message that spoke to me. That where once the house had been and been destroyed, there was now symbols of life. But she said, even more than that, the very same storm and winds that tore down my home brought forth the seeds of the wildflowers that promised life. Now, friends, there's some complexities to understand of our faith in that story. There's some complexities of death and dying and destruction, like losing that home that leaves us devastated. But in the words of Paul, who said to us, may we as people of the faith have hope. As he wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, he said this momentary brokenness that we are going through is preparing us for an eternal glory that's beyond our imagination and will be without end. You see, those wild flowers for that family showed that life will win. that Jesus, our Savior, while He doesn't prevent every sorrow, sickness, and death, ultimately He conquers the great enemy so we may have life, joy, and love in Him forever. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are thankful on this day that we remember those who've gone before us in glory, the hope of the resurrection that sustains us, that in this world we will know hardship. We will know darkness and sorrow and separation, but in You there is an eternal home of glory that is without end. Will You sustain us and strengthen us? We pray Your special blessing upon the Gooseby family today as they grieve the loss of a beautiful son and precious husband. We ask, O God, that You help us to minister to them and all those in the faith who've lost loved ones to remember that in You, O Lord, there are miracles of grace and life and love. We pray for the ministry of our church. We ask You, O God, to guide us with Your Spirit as we serve our community, our neighbors in need, those around us with our love, giving a glimpse of Your heavenly reign, even as we reflect Your glory here on earth. We pray for our nation. We lift up our economy, our jobs, for our local businesses and those beyond. We pray for the rulers of our lands, those who make laws and those who enforce them. We lift up our military. We ask You to keep them safe, those who guard our freedom and protect our liberty. We pray for our state, our county, and city governing bodies. We lift up the strong, the powerful, the rich, and ask You to guide them all in the spirit of Micah to do justice, love mercy, to walk humbly in Your way. We also pray for the weak, the least, the last, and the lost. We sustain those that You gave Your preferential treatment, the ones no one else cares for. May we be Your church and give hope and life and love and witness. We pray for every person on our prayer list, asking, yes, O God, with confidence, for miracles of grace, praying and petitioning You to continue to bring forth life as a symbol of the life is that without end in that heavenly realm. And finally, O God, we pray for ourselves. We lift up each family and individual this day in worship, knowing that we all come here with sicknesses and sorrows, sins and separation. We ask for healing and wholeness for each other and with one another, whether the need be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, or professional. We know, O God, You are the physician and the restorer of our souls and spirit. So come, O Holy Spirit, and receive our prayers together as we join our voices now as one and say the words You taught us. Praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.